passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Well, I guess we can't sit here at the table forever.
I like it.
Oh, well, thank you, David.
But you and Jim go into the living room.
We'll have coffee there. Nancy, will you help me clear this?
Okay, Mom.
Oh, let me help you,
David. David, why don't we do the job?
The day I turn my kitchen over to a couple of men.
Mom, honestly.
Well, what's wrong now, Nancy?
You make such a thing about men and women. We're all the same.
We weren't the day I brought you into the world.
She's got you there, honey.
What do you think, David?
I like the difference.
Right on, David. Look, I'll clear, Nancy. Why don't you take the coffee in, okay?
Sure.
Hey, David, want to give me a hand?
Both of them.
Oh, Kate, you really should have let Nancy help me.
Why? Now, you and I haven't had a chance to talk at all, Joy.
How long are you staying?
I'm taking the early train back to the city tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's such a short visit.
Well, this time it has to be.
I won't ask why. You have such different interests now, Kate. You hardly seem like my own sister.
Oh, come on, Joy. I haven't changed all that much. You're my family. And your chocolate mousse was divine.
I remembered that you liked it. Oh, why don't you stay over with us for a couple
of days? Because I have a job to get back to.
Oh, couldn't you take a leave of absence for just a little while?
Oh, maybe I could later. I'd love to stay for a while.
Then do it now. It would mean a great deal to all of us. And I'd really appreciate it, Kate.
Why, Joy? I mean, is something wrong?
Oh, not with me or with Jim or any of us. It's just that... You get on so well with his children.
Not any better than you do, Joy. You have done a great job with your kids.
Once, maybe. But they don't listen to me anymore. Especially Nancy.
Nancy?
Oh, I guess I'm old shoe. But she is so restless and moody.
She hasn't enough to do. She's bright. She should have a job that interests her.
She can't find one. Oh, but, Kate, I don't think it's just not having a job. Something's bothering her.
Like what?
Well, I don't say it to Jim, and he doesn't say it to me. But she acts like a girl in love.
Who is it?
I have no idea, because I don't know what she does with her time between jobs. Well, she doesn't see any of her old boyfriends, Pete or Eddie or Phil. No, they haven't been around in weeks.
Well, who does she go out with?
Nobody. The only man she seems glad to see at all is David.
David?
Well, I guess he listens to her troubles. Like a big brother.
Joy, did Nancy invite David here tonight?
She did suggest it. But he came because of you, of course. And she didn't want to invite a boy for herself. I am worried about her, Kate. Because if there's somebody we know nothing about... Well, it's the way girls get into trouble.
Well, what do you want me to do, Joy?
I'd like you to stay with us. But if you can't do that, Jim thought it'd be a good thing if we let Nancy go down to the city with you.
Well, I'd love to have her, Joy, but...
But what?
I have to be away for a while.
Oh, how long?
I'm not sure.
A vacation?
No, something I have to attend to.
Oh, business. Where are you going?
I'm going down to the Caribbean.
After all those miserable years you spent there with Tom, I should think it would be the last place you'd want to ever go.
Well, it is in a way, Joy, but I just have to do it.
Hey, coffee's on, everybody.
Oh, okay. Nancy, you go in and pour, Kate.
Oh, come on, the guys can do it.
Oh, look, girls, if the party's in the kitchen, we'll join you.
Oh, I'll be there in a minute. Oh, run along, Nancy. You too, Kate. Keep David company. I'll start the machine.
Oh, forget the kitchen, honey. It was a great dinner. Now, just come on in and relax.
I don't know, Jim. Sometimes nothing seems to work.
Well, what's up?
If you had any idea that Kate would be able to help us out with Nancy, you'd better forget it.
I don't think Kate should help us out with Nancy. That's our job.
Well, you had the idea Nancy should go down to the city for a while with her.
Well, sure, but Kate isn't supposed to babysit with her. I just think Nancy needs a change.
Well, I know she does, but Kate can't help. She's going to be away.
Yeah, she said something about that before dinner.
Oh, you should have told me before I practically begged her on my knees.
Maybe we'll have to let Nancy go anyhow.
Alone? To the city? In her frame of mind?
Look, if she's going to get into trouble, she can do it as fast here in Belhaven as any place else.
Well, that's a very curious thing to say about your oldest daughter.
She's a very curious creature these days.
If she has found somebody she's in love with, why can't she admit it to us?
Because she won't admit it to herself yet.
Won't admit what?
Hmm? Oh, nothing, Nancy.
Nope, this time I won't be put off. It has been a horrible evening. Everybody whispering behind my back.
Because you're so interesting,
Nate. Oh, come on, Dad. I expected better of you. Look, what were you talking about?
Your mother thinks you're in love.
Jim!
Well, she asked a question. It deserved an answer.
Well, have you picked out the man, Mom?
Oh, no, honey.
Oh, yes, you have. It's very obvious. You've got me all taped out. Well, listen, I'm not in love. I never intend to be. You can go in and talk to Kate and David. I just don't want to be around, ever. Nancy! No, thanks, David. I think I'll just go right home. You're awful nice to drive me.
Why not? What'd you do, walk over to Joyce?
Oh, I never get enough walking in the city now.
What happened tonight?
Hmm?
At the party. I thought we were all having a good time at dinner, and then it sort of fizzled. Nancy disappeared.
Oh, Well, I think she had some kind of row with her parents.
She shouldn't be living with them
now. Of course she shouldn't. She should be away at college.
Or on her own at a real job.
Do you see much of her, David?
She drops into the paper once in a while. She brought the damnedest story in a couple of days ago. She thought she'd try being a reporter.
Oh, what was it about?
Oh, how you get hens to lay more brown eggs than white eggs. She went out to the chicken farm.
Trust Nancy. Well, was it any good?
She is not a reporter, Kate, but your old Nancy, you got to love her for it. Well, here's your quarter. Last call for coffee.
Oh, just drive around a little more, would you, David? Such a bright night.
Yeah, it is.
David, I wish I could bring Nancy down to the city with me.
But you can't. You're going away.
Well, how did you know that?
You're going down to Jamaica in the Caribbean for some reason.
Who told you?
Henry, after you left the office.
Well, that's just great.
Was there any reason he shouldn't have told me?
Well, I don't think...
Henry's a lonely guy, Kate. When he's worried, I'm generally a sounding board. And glad to be.
He doesn't have to worry about me.
Well, you know he does. You're going to dig into that drug mess Tom was into down there.
I have to.
Oh, sure, sure.
David, I do. I'm never going to have any peace in my whole life until I know the whole story. Now, Henry doesn't approve. And I suppose you don't.
I haven't the right to approve or disapprove. But if you ask me...
I do ask you, David.
I'll tell you. I don't think anybody ought to live with a past wrapped around his neck. I've done that, and it's wrong.
You have.
That surprise you?
Well, you always seem so much above problems, so able to handle them.
For the first time, I'm finding out I'm not handling them at all.
David, is it Nancy?
Nancy? Hell, I'm nearly twice her age. She's a crazy kid. Let me tell you something, Kate. If going down to Jamaica or wherever is going to free you from the past, I say go.
Oh, David, thank you for saying that.
What most of us need is a second chance.
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective. Faces of Love has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Ladies, gentlemen, you do me much honor to attend this latest chapter of Vanity Fair. I am, of course, none other than its author, William Makepeace Thackeray. Do you, dear listeners, say all is topsy-turvy in our story? Becky Sharp does not say so. Rawdon, persuaded by Rebecca, does not say so. Giles, unpersuaded, holds her tongue. The three are cozy in Rawdon's flat. Too cozy. The confined nest is too small. They will, says Becky, and once more Rawdon agrees, will rent a dear little house, should Miss Crawley not immediately receive them back into her large one. Before they go seeking, a long, beseeching letter will go by hand to Miss Crawley, dictated now to Rawdon by Becky.
Dearest, how does it sound so far?
Splendid. Capital. What next?
Oh, read what you just set down.
Your heart, beloved auntie, is the kindest in the world. I know in my own breaking heart you will forgive your two devoted children.
Oh, tis enough. We shall end it now. Right, and I am forever your grateful and loving nephew, Rawdon.
And I am forever your great... How do you spell grateful?
No, my darling, I've told you before. The letter must have all your shocking spelling, so she'll not think I wrote it.
Grateful and loving nephew.
Giles! Giles? Oh, yes, ma'am.
I'm here, Mrs. Crawley.
Oh, Mrs. Crawley, is that really me?
Oh, tis, Miss Becky. I've seen you wed. I was witness. Did you want your tea now?
No. You're to take a letter to a certain Miss Matilda Crawley.
Ah.
Address Park Lane, and you're to wait for an answer.
Well, if only it would be the right one.
Will be. Jove, it will. Auntie can't resist such a letter.
Especially if she reads it to Miss Briggs. Poor Briggs is much too timid to press our case on her own, but I know she's on our side. If she hears the letter, it's an invitation to say what she feels. Take it, Giles. Godspeed and blessings upon it.
In the Park Lane townhouse, Mrs. Martha Bute and Miss Arabella Briggs are taking morning tea in the downstairs sitting room. Upstairs, Miss Crawley sleeps, having been given appropriate powders by the apothecary, who was ordered so to prescribe by Mrs. Bute.
Dear Briggs, how providential that I arrived yesterday at such a time as to assist Matilda in supporting the shock of Rawdon's revolting marriage.
Yes, the poor soul is most pitiful.
And how propitious that there is a vacant room where I may stay.
Miss Becky's room.
I dislike sleeping in her bed, in her room. But I never shrink from personal discomfort, nor from any sacrifice for my dear sister-in-law.
Martha, how long before you must return to Queen's Crawley? I'm sure the Reverend Jude is quite bereft.
Why, I shall stay as long as I am needed, until Matilda is well, and until I am certain she will hold out against the supplications of Rawdon and that creature.
I see.
Now, do not allow yourself to suppose they'll not attempt to regain their position here. Rebecca's too clever, spirited, desperate a woman to submit without a struggle, and Rawdon will do anything she says. The two of them want Matilda's money, above all else.
But I do think both are truly devoted to Matilda.
Oh, rubbish. Neither of them cares a fig for her. And I could never account for her infatuation with Rawdon. Oh, I've long considered him a profligate lost being.
Martha, I know it is not my place, but I must speak out. Matilda is angry, yes, and perhaps rightly. But already she's bereaved.
Oh.
In her sleep she called their names. So piteous. Becky, Rawdon, where are you? And this morning she'd not take her hot chocolate because... You heard.
Oh, yes, yes. No one makes chocolates like Rebecca. Disgusting.
But should she not have them back if she wants them?
Oh, fine, Miss Briggs, fine. Rawdon is the victim of that little viper of a Sharp. Shall Matilda be as well? It is my bounden duty to prevent it. I would lay down my life for my duty and for any member of my husband's family. I command you, Arabella, do not say to Matilda what you have just said to... Oh, out the window. Look, look, look who approaches this house.
Giles. Oh, excuse me, Martha. I'll run and open the door.
You will not. Stay where you are exactly. Nerve your frontry. So, the siege begins.
Prudent Mrs. Bute is prepared for combat. She, and she alone, will fortify this house against the siege she knows Rawdon and his bride will lay to Miss Crawley. And I, if you will excuse me briefly, shall lay siege to a cup of tea.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold, dear. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name and address and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only, expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Rawdon and Becky await Giles' return whilst reading the Morning Chronicle. That occupation interrupted from time to time by kisses.
Mm. My darling. Oh, do look. Lord Binky Sheepshanks announces the engagement of his daughter, Lady Jane, to Mr. Pitt Crawley.
Dad, who would marry my brother?
Lady Jane Sheepshanks.
May heaven pity her. Where did that pompous ass? Do you know what he was called at Eton? Miss Crawley.
Oh, Miss Pitt Crawley and I got on quite well at Queen's Crawley. I pretended to read and admire his tiresome pamphlets. We never read a single one.
You're my angel. You can get on with anybody.
Oh, we must both get on with him now.
Pitt and I? Why, we even don't speak.
Well, then you must begin. We shall need friends, dearest, if your auntie is long taking us back. And young Pitt will be Sir Pitt when your father dies.
Which is very likely will be soon, the way he drinks spirits before arising and upon retiring and all in between.
And is too often on the verge of an apoplexy the way he was last night. Oh, so, my love, we must make friends with Lady Jane and your dear brother.
Pat, if you've in mind he might share his inheritance from Papa, you're quite mistaken.
Oh, one never, never knows. Oh, Giles! Giles, back so soon without answers.
By Jove, quick, what new?
Oh, back, Miss. Back, sir, but not with no answer. I've brung your own letter back.
What do you mean?
Mrs. Bute come to the door.
That old crow still is there?
She did not even take the letter and treated me like dirt, she did.
Damn me.
Well, what did she say? Tell us every word.
Oh, I'll remember it. Every word.
How dare you come here, Giles? I am affronted by the sight of you.
I come with a letter for Miss Crawley.
Have you indeed? Miss Crawley is in a most critical state.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry to hear it, ma'am.
And who, pray, put her in that state? Your miss.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, no, ma'am. Look, I'm to wait for an answer to the letter, Mrs. Bute. Will you kindly please take it to Miss Crawley?
I'll not take it even into my hand. To touch it would be an abomination. You may take that answer to Mrs. Crawley.
'Tis from Captain Crawley.
Then this message to him. My sister-in-law does not wish to see or hear from either of them ever again.
Mrs. Bute, I must speak to Giles. I must.
You must not, Arabella. Not.
Oh, wretched, conniving woman slammed the door on your face.
Miss Briggs' face as well.
Oh. That harpy, that ogress after Auntie's money. Here's her chance to purloin the legacy will to me. Hang it, this is bad news, Becky. She's slippery as a salamander.
And alas, I fear there's nothing the rector's wife won't do, all in the name of Christian charity. Oh, yes, it augurs evil. The continued presence of Mrs. Reverend Bute Crawley.
Indeed, indeed, the rector's lady is prepared for armed combat. Will be incessantly watchful against assault or surprise. But can she or anyone else outwit, outlast, outdo a Becky Sharp? Dear listeners, tomorrow, please. And I have the honor to be your most obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Author's Studio has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist. A sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Mr. Baxter.
Miss Perkins, I asked you not to disturb me for any reason. I've got this prospectus to get out by noon for Mr. Cranshaw.
Your furnace has blown up.
What?
Mrs. Baxter just called, and she said there was this terrible explosion in the basement. And she went running down to the basement, and she said the furnace door had blown off, and the flames were just...
Oh, my Lord, is she all right?
She said she ran back upstairs and threw the emergency switch, and the fire went out.
Did she call the fire department?
I asked her that, but she said it wasn't necessary. There isn't any fire anymore, but the house is getting cold now because there isn't any heat. And Mr. Baxter,
huh?
You're getting your overshoes on the wrong feet.
Golly. Tell Mr. Cranshaw I had to get home, that it's an emergency. The prospectus for Harrigan will have to wait.
Would you like me to finish it?
You? Oh, I'm afraid, Miss Perkins, it's a bit too complicated.
Oh, Mr. Baxter, I won't have any trouble at all. I haven't been your secretary all these years for nothing. My goodness, what kind of a secretary would I be if I didn't know just as much about your work as you do?
Really? You're not after my job, are you, Miss Perkins?
Oh, Mr. Baxter, what a thing to say.
It seems about the only thing to say.
Here, let me help you with your coat. You've got your arm in the wrong sleeve.
Oh, thank you, Miss... What would I do without you?
Well, that's what I meant. I think a secretary should know all about her employer's business, just like my dentist. His dental assistant is so efficient. I said to him, my, Miss Healy is so efficient. And he laughed and he said, yes, sometimes I think she knows more about filling teeth than I do.
Yeah? Well, I think that's one dentist I wouldn't want working on my teeth.
Oh, he was just joking, Mr. Baxter.
Here,
don't forget your hat.
Oh, yeah. Hey, explain to Mr. Cranshaw why I had to rush home and then call Mrs. Baxter and tell her I'll be right home. Oh, did she call the oil company? We've got a contract with them for emergencies like this.
Yes, she said she called them, but all she got was an answering service. And they said everyone was out, but they took the message.
Oh, great. Nobody's there when you need them. Now, you're sure Mrs. Baxter was all right? She's not burned or anything?
Oh, I don't think I'd say she's all right. She sounded pretty excited. Sort of hysterical, in fact. But I think that's understandable. If your furnace door blasts open and the fire pours out, that's enough to upset anyone.
Yeah, but call her and tell her I'll get home as fast as I can. Well, the fire's certainly out now.
Well, it went out the minute I threw the emergency switch.
Okay, start at the beginning. What happened?
Well, I thought earlier that I smelled oil, and I said to Aunt Maggie, do you smell oil? And she said, why, yes. And shortly after that, I thought the house seemed a little smoky. And I asked Aunt Maggie, I said, doesn't the house look a little smoky? And she said, why, yes.
Okay.
Well, I thought you wanted to hear what happened.
I do. I just don't want to hear what you said to Aunt Maggie and what she said to you and all that. I want to know what happened.
I'm telling you.
By the way, where is Aunt Maggie?
Well, the house was getting so cold, I told her to go over to Maynard. She just got over one cold. She doesn't need another.
Okay, back to the furnace.
Well, I was in the living room dusting. And Aunt Maggie was in the kitchen when there was this, explosion. And I yelled, what was that? And I started running out to the kitchen where Aunt Maggie was, and she was rushing into the living room where I was, and we both crashed into each other in the dining room. And she said, do you think we're being bombed? And I said, no, I think it came from the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm going down to the basement. And Aunt Maggie said, well, I certainly don't think you should go down there alone.
No.
And I said, well, you're not going with me, I said to Aunt Maggie. I said, you're staying right
here.
Honey,
please, don't give me all the details of what you said. I want to know what you did.
I went down to the basement.
Oh.
And smoke was by that time pouring up the basement stairs. And when I came down the stairs, there was this terrible roaring sound, and the doors of the furnace were wide open, and the flames just pouring out. Well, I ran back up the stairs, and I threw the emergency switch at the top of the stairs, and the burner went out. Well, it was a very frightening experience.
I'm sure it was.
Shaking.
You all right?
Well, yes, dear. And right away, I called the fuel company. I got nothing but busy signals for half an hour. And then I got their answering service. Well, I'm telling you, that girl knows nothing. I said, this is an emergency. When will somebody be in? And she said, oh, I don't know, but I'll give them your number and they'll call you.
How much does that contract we have with them cost us?
Well, number $25, something like that.
No. It used to be $22.50. Now it's up to something like $48.
That's right, $48.50.
Maintenance contract.
That's right.
Supposed to clean the furnace every year and give us prompt service and emergency.
I know.
Well, I'll get on the phone with that oil company, and they'd better send somebody out here fast. I
want to say something else. On top of my wife being subjected to the terrifying experience of having the furnace doors blow open with flames pouring out, we have a service contract with you people, and we don't expect to get just the answering service when we have an emergency.
Bob, dear.
No, it's okay, Mrs. Baxter. He's got a point.
You bet I've got a point.
Honey, why don't we find out what's wrong with the furnace now that the man is here?
What? Oh, yeah. What do you think went wrong?
Well, how long have you had it?
The furnace? It was here when we bought the house.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, 5-6 years.
Yeah, we've been here 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years. The people we bought the house from said the furnace was practically new.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was new back in Calvin Coolidge's day. I think sooner or later you're going to need a new one.
Oh. How much do new furnaces cost?
It depends. You get a good one, it'll run you $1,800, $1,900. Of course, that includes the burner, the piping, the installation.
You mean it would cost us nearly $2,000 to put in a new furnace?
Well, everything's gone up. That'll be about it, I think.
Can't this one be repaired?
Well, with your door blowing open, you had ignition failure. The safety switch failed, I think. Probably the combustion control affected the transformer. And if we repair all that, plus the labor charges, you might as well get yourself a new burner. It should cost about $160, I think.
Why do you keep saying I think about everything? Don't you know?
No, I don't really. I'm in glass.
What?
What do you mean you're in glass?
I've got the Bunkley Glass Company. It's my twin brother has the fuel company. I don't know too much about furnaces. Just what I picked up from him. I'm just keeping an eye on things, minding the store, you might say, while he's in Hawaii.
He's in Hawaii?
That's right.
Would you mind telling me why a man who has an oil company that has contracts for servicing furnaces goes off to Hawaii at the peak of the cold winter season?
Well, that's it. Joe can't stand the cold weather.
Oh.
He and Agnes like to go away at this time of the year. Oh, and they love Honolulu. They get a suite at one of those big hotels right on the beach. In fact, they get the same suite year after year. Got a nice little terrace they can sit out and watch the sunsets. They love it.
Tell you what I'd love. Somebody who can fix my furnace.
Yeah. Right. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a report here on what I think is wrong, and then I'll find one of the servicemen and send him out. He'll know more about this than I do.
Well, I'd certainly appreciate talking to somebody who knows more about this than you do.
Honey,
No, darn it. When I pay $48.50 for a service contract, I want service. As a matter of fact, I'm supposed to get my furnace cleaned every year, too. And they did not show up this summer to clean it. Didn't show up at all.
Yeah, I seem to recall Joe saying they'd gotten behind on their schedule.
It seems to me it'd be more to the point if your brother would fulfill his service contract instead of romping off to Hawaii.
Bob,
No, He's got a point. He's paid $48.50 per service, and he ought to get it. You're absolutely right.
Wow.
Now, I'll check the furnace as best I can, and then see how soon I can get the serviceman out here. If you'll excuse me.
Oh, yes, sure. You go check the furnace, and then come and have some coffee with us. I mean, it's pretty cold around here. Well, dear,
I don't get it. The world's really cockeyed. Here it is, the peak of the season when everybody has furnace trouble, and that guy just goes off to Hawaii to sit in the sun.
Yeah, well, write to him in Hawaii. Oh, listen, something else. I was cleaning our bathroom today and wiping off the walls a bit, and all of us shut. No. This is not the time to tell you.
Go on. Let me have it.
The tile seems to be falling off the walls.
We just had it done two months ago.
I know. Well, it's loose in spots and it's falling off. One tile just fell out and plunked down on the floor right on my foot. And a minute later...
No, you were right to begin with. I don't want to hear about it.
Well, all right. Let's face it, dear. It's always something around the house.
I'm going to build a fire in the fireplace before we freeze today.
And that, well, that's another thing. One of the andirons is broken. I just noticed it today, and I thought, well, I must tell Bob about that.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold, dear. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Jacket, sir.
Oh.
May I help you on with it?
Yes, thank you. Will you? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very nice fit, don't you think?
It's a little snug around the waist, isn't it?
Dad, you better not tell Caroline. She'll put you on bread and water.
I don't have
to. We can let it out a bit, Mr. Carter. Right here.
Dad, why don't you order a sports jacket? Then they can cut it a little looser.
Would you... Leo, what's the matter? Do you have some new man in the back there?
No, sir. We've had the same ones for 40 years.
Well, I certainly don't understand it.
Maybe we should have taken some new measurements before we went ahead this
what?
Time.
What? Oh, nonsense. I'm just...
I'll take it to the workroom. I'll be just a moment, Mr. Carter.
Well, I don't know, Jason. Those fellas are usually so accurate. I don't know what happened.
Dad, tell me, where do things stand with the clinic Caroline is planning?
Well, she hasn't gotten the go-ahead from Gonzalez yet, but she's very optimistic about it.
Oh. Well, I hope Joe does commit himself to it, although we'll sure miss him at Jefferson.
Yes, he's a fine man.
Yes, and seems to think so.
Jason, you know, he has her completely baffled.
Oh?
My dear stepdaughter is so used to having her young men jump through hoops for her.
Well, it's no wonder, Dad. Money in large quantities has a strong effect on eager suitors.
Well, how's Emily?
Pretty well.
No effects from the fainting spell she had the other night?
Well, that wasn't a fainting spell, Dad. It was a dysfunction.
Well, whatever it was, she seemed all right when you left for home?
Yes, she was better.
Jason, I still don't believe she has a brain tumor.
How I wish you were right, Dad. Oh, by the way, Lynn didn't ask any questions about Emily.
No. I think she accepted your explanation, at least for the time being.
Good.
Yeah, she had other things on her mind.
Yeah. Have she and Kurt left for Aspen yet?
Well, they're going tomorrow. And I don't know why Lynn has to tag along.
Dad, tell me, is there any really good reason why you don't like Kurt?
What do you mean, good reason?
Oh, come on, Dad. This is your son talking to you, and I know you know what I mean by good reason.
Yes, well, I...
All right, Mr. Carter. Let's see how this is now.
Well, let's see. There you are. Yes, that's better.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Much better. Yes, Leo, I'm glad you straightened those workroom fellas out. There's no need for sloppy workmanship.
Think, Mother, should I wear the green dress or the blue skirt with the white tunic?
Well, they're both nice, Anne, dear. You know, it's funny.
What is?
I just realized how seldom I've seen you in anything but pants. Until just recently. Is it for Dr. Joe Gonzalez?
All right, Mother.
I'm not complaining. I think it's refreshing.
Well, which do you think Joe will like, the green or the blue?
Oh, either one, dear, I'm sure.
I wish I could be sure.
Are you really that taken with him?
I don't know. I really don't know. I wonder if it's just because he's so hard to get.
Is he really? Or are you just trying too hard?
Maybe it's because he's different.
Everyone is, dear.
Not like Joe, they're not.
Why don't you just relax and let things develop slowly?
I'm not used to that, Mother.
Well, you said he was different.
Well, people don't waste time now just sitting around and talking. They get right down to basics.
What is your definition of basics?
Well, it usually means making love.
You still call it that?
I was going to say popping into bed, but I lost my nerve.
And that's what you have in mind for Joe?
I did, for a while, anyway.
Oh, I see. What changed your mind?
I guess it's because of... Well, you know, it sounds funny.
Oh, come on, you can tell your mother.
I think he respects me.
What are you whispering for? It's nothing to be ashamed of.
I know.
Now, I hope you don't do anything to disillusion him, Anne. I really do want him to take on that clinic I'm planning.
I wouldn't worry about that, Mother. If he decides he wants to do it, he will. And I don't think I could get in his way if I wanted to.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shuffle, chick.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Oh, Caroline, it's going to be lonesome around here when Lynn and Kurt leave for Aspen.
They wouldn't have to go if Kurt could find something here.
And if he had a job, they'd move out anyway.
I'm glad you see it that way, Robert.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, you're finally facing the fact that you can't hold on to Lynn forever.
Well, I don't know where everyone's gotten the idea that I'm trying to run my daughter's life.
Well, since you said it's everybody's opinion, there must be some truth to it.
Then I'll just have to stand as a lonely majority of one.
Oh, Robert. Outside of marrying Lynn, has Kurt done anything to make you distrust him so?
Well, it was the way he did it.
What do you mean?
It was just by the grace of bureaucratic red tape that they didn't get married in Zurich.
Is that so dreadful, Robert?
And whatever means of support or income he had has just vanished.
Well, if that's a crime, he's got a lot of company today.
Mm-hmm. Would you feel the same way if he were married to Anne?
Of course, if she cared for him.
Oh, she's got too much sense.
You're saying Lynn doesn't.
No, I'm saying that Kurt has her hypnotized.
Oh, I think you'd be better off if you took up some healthy hobby.
Oh, what would you suggest?
What about golf?
Golf? I'm not old enough.
Oh, dear. I wonder how Anne is making out with Joe Gonzalez.
Some more coffee, Anne?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir?
We'd like some hot coffee.
I'll get you a fresh pot, sir.
This is a nice, quiet place, Joe.
It's usually more crowded.
You come here often?
Fairly often.
Alone?
Sometimes.
And sometimes not?
That's right.
Why don't you just tell me to mind my own business?
Is that necessary?
You never wonder what I do when I don't see you, do you?
Do you think I should?
Joe, are we going anyplace at all?
Why the rush to get someplace?
Because I want to know.
Your coffee, sir?
Thank you.
Anything else?
And? Nothing now.
Very good, sir.
Do you want to know if we will become lovers or marry?
Either one or both.
I don't know.
Oh, God, Joe.
Does it have to be settled right now?
Well, it doesn't have to, not at this very moment, but...
You are so impatient.
Well, I guess it's because I don't know how you feel about me.
You don't?
You are the most infuriating man I've ever met.
And you are the most arrogant woman I've ever met.
Arrogant?
Yes. You're so accustomed to running things, including men, that it doesn't occur to you that other people have other ways of doing things.
I'm sorry.
That came a little too easy, Anne.
Well, then, I don't know what to say to you, Joe.
Why don't you just listen?
And not ask questions.
Well, every now and then.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Heaven to Hold features Joyce Gordon as Emily, Larry Haynes as Jason, Patricia Wheel as Angela, and Michael Storm as Marsh. Also appearing were Vicky Vola and Manuel Sebastian. Produced by Ernie Ricca, directed by Dick Cox, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.